Hello and welcome to the Vitality Explorer podcast. My name is Dr. Alan Mishra, and you are listening to a podcast that does its best to optimize vitality one person at a time. Thank you to all the new listeners to this podcast. Please share this widely if you're enjoying it. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's start with a quote like we typically do, and this one is from Steve Prefontaine, the runner Steve Prefontaine, quote, "To give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift." To give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. Again, the goal here on the Vitality Explorer podcast is to provide our listeners and readers of the Vitality Explorer Substack site with the latest scientific information about how to improve our physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being. We're trying to take the friction out of staying vital and helping us make deposits into what we call our vitality bank account. And we now have over 500 posts and podcasts on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. I encourage you to check that out online. And the two core principles of Vitality Explorers are, number one, vitality is a skill. Number two, vitality is a gift you give yourself by taking ownership over your decisions. In that context, we have changed the podcast a little bit to start with a vitality action suggestion for the week. And we try to make it simple. We try to make it accomplishable. Don't want to make it too difficult for everybody to do it. But here it is. I want to try to have everybody stretch for 5 minutes per day. Now, this could be your hamstrings, this could be your shoulders, this could be your lower back, your Achilles. There's literally thousands of videos online that you can check out. I've also posted a couple about how to stretch your forearm muscles and your hamstrings on the Vitality Explorer Substack site this week. But the goal is to get 5 minutes of stretching per day. And the content in today's podcast will help people understand why that's absolutely important. But the key thing is to just do it, okay? So one of the ways you can do that is to connect it to something you do in the morning, the middle of the day, or the evening, but just set aside 5 minutes to stretch. And this is in the context of these three topics for today. Number one, exercise mobilize natural killer cells. Number two, you can transform hunger pains into life gains. And then the final one, which is why we have this suggestion, is to stretch to reduce inflammation and cancer. So we'll circle back on that at the end, but let's jump back into the first topic for the day on the Vitality Explorer podcast, and that is exercise mobilizes natural killer cells. And this is critical data for all cancer patients. And I think we need an all-in strategy to combat cancer. It's rising, especially among younger people. But published data suggests that as little as 10 minutes of exercise may be helpful in newly diagnosed breast cancer patients, according to this paper. And here's the title of the paper. Quote, "The effect of acute exercise on circulating immune cells in newly diagnosed breast cancer patients." Now, this study looked at 20 women, and they drew their blood. And these were women with known newly diagnosed breast cancer. They drew it before and after just 10 minutes on an exercise bike. And then the blood samples were, analyzed for a variety of different things, but specifically the types of cells that are in your blood. Now, normally you have things like white blood cells and red blood cells and various subtypes of white blood cells. But what they found, very importantly, what they found is increased total number of white blood cells in just 10 minutes. And your white blood cells are really important. They're connected to your immune system and they have fancy big names. But one of the ones that I love is these things called natural killer cells. These are part of your immune system, but they do exactly what they sound like they do. They're in charge of trying to, run around and kill off bad things, including cancer, by the way. But there are also increased cells that have names and numbers on them, and you can check out the details on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But here are two important quotes from the paper. Number one, quote, "Exercise has been associated with better outcomes in breast cancer patients." Number two, "Acute mobilization and redistribution of immune cells in response to exercise is the key reason why regular exercise elicits anti-tumor effects in both preclinical and human studies." Okay, let me shorten that up for you. If you get on a bike for 10 minutes, you're going to mobilize the cells that help knock out tumor cells. Okay. That's not just opinion. That's based on both animal studies and human studies. And so here's the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations of this first part of the, that we're talking about on the Vitality Explorer podcast today. Getting a cancer diagnosis could be devastating. And the last thing some of us may want to do is to exercise, but scientific data suggests we should get on the bike. The good news is we only have to do it for about 10 minutes to potentially improve prognosis. And this is another example of a non-pharmacologic way to enhance our vitality, even or especially in the context of a terrible disease. All right. So maybe, and again, I'm not telling people to do this. This isn't medical advice. Please check with your doctor about it. But you can utilize this information to start a conversation about whether exercise can help if you've been diagnosed with breast cancer. So please share this information with anyone you know who has cancer or newly diagnosed. You can post your comments here or on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. Again, the title of the paper that had this data on is, quote, "The Effect of Acute Exercise on Circulating Immune Cells in Newly Diagnosed Breast Cancer Patients." And that was from 2023. Okay. Again, you're listening to the Vitality Explorer podcast. My name is Dr. Alan Mishra. I'm an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist, the founder of Vitality Explorers. And you can find the references on the Vitality Explorer Substack site online. Let's go to the next topic for this week's podcast. And here's the title: Transform Hunger Pains into Life Gains. And that is why being hungry may enhance longevity. Now, I've got a pretty snarky picture that I actually took at the grocery store this week. I didn't buy them, but I took this picture. And there was these gigantic bars, Snicker bars. And one of the Snicker bars says Snickers, which is classic. But the second one said Satisfy. So there's a picture of Snicker Satisfies on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. And that's their tagline: Snickers really satisfies. And that tagline came from a commercial that first aired in 1985. And it was suggested that we should snack on a Snicker bar in the afternoon to fight the pain of hunger, to fight that afternoon pain, that in between lunch and dinner, you know, don't worry about that. We got it. And Snickers really satisfies. And this, I think, my opinion, this is the beginning on the war on ever feeling hungry, okay? And the feeling of not being satisfied should be avoided at all costs, according to the marketing. So you have this person, he's eating a candy bar. He goes, look, you know, you shouldn't have to feel hungry, and this candy bar really helps you. By the way, it's about 250 calories. And science now suggests that feeling of being hungry is connected to our longevity. And feeling hungry once in a while may actually extend our lives, according to the complex paper that analyzed the lifespan of fruit flies. Now, I spent a lot of time reading this paper, and I'm going to try to boil it down to some things that people can understand. And you can find it on the Vitality Explorer Substack site and all the references. But the study involved limiting the fly's consumption of specific important amino acids or stimulating the neurons that cause people to be, or cause a fly to be hungry. So in other words, you didn't get enough food, or you had enough food, but you stimulated the neurons that suggest you are hungry. And the researchers surprisingly found that the state of being hungry, not just your caloric restriction or restriction of certain amino acids, was associated with a longer lifespan. And here's the simple but profound conclusion of the study. Quote, "We established that hunger modulates aging." Think about that for a second. Hunger modulates aging. Really a staggering conclusion, right? Because you think of being underfed or not getting enough food would not be associated with a longer life, but it actually is. And there's some interesting data to go along with that. The research team figured out that specific proteins are modified in the context of hunger, and these proteins are partially in control of the aging process. It's a very complex way about how the proteins modify something called histones, which are around your DNA, and they are related to the expression of your DNA or how your DNA puts out certain proteins. But the data suggested that the sensation, not the actual state, but the sensation of hunger may be the driver or a driver of longevity. And I think this research is really important for a large percentage of people who have been struggling with their weight. And 69% of Americans are either overweight or obese. And the estimated cost of that obesity in the United States alone is $173 billion in 2019 dollars, according to the CDE, or the Center for Disease Control. And obese people also cost the system significantly more than normal weight individuals. So you can see there were the references to that and some graphs that, you know, look at people who are normal weight, underweight, overweight, moderately obese, and severely obese. And especially people who are severely obese, the total expenditure per year is staggering. And so I think we need an all, kind of like cancer, we also need an all-in strategy to combat the obesity epidemic beyond the new transformative weight loss medications. And one potential strategy is to educate people about the potential longevity value of simply learning how to tolerate being a little hungry once in a while. So when was the last time you actually felt really hungry? I was doing this a year or two ago after I'd gained some weight during the pandemic. And I was like, okay, I got to figure out how to drop these 3 or 4 or 5 pounds that I put on. And I realized something very important. I was starving one day because I was not eating as much, or I was fasting. And I looked inside my refrigerator and I'm like, there are 10,000 calories in this refrigerator in various forms. I can consume all of them, but I'm not going to starve to death. And I needed to realize that the sensation of feeling hungry, just that hunger pain in your stomach, wasn't going to kill me. And then your body actually switches over to using fatty acids or going into ketosis after a period of time. But it doesn't feel good. But it's a fleeting feeling. And I've done a lot of intermittent fasting over the past several years to help maintain my body weight and for a variety of other reasons. But it lasts for me after about 16, 18 hours of fasting. I do flip over into, likely flip over into ketosis, which is just using a different fuel source, and I stop being hungry. And that here's the analysis of this particular paper. The feeling of being hungry may be a lead to a longer life, according to the data. And it's not just about eating less or eating less often. It may actually be connected, longevity may be connected to being able to tolerate that feeling of less than satisfied. So I realize that the idea of asking people to endure feeling hungry may be controversial, but it's also scientifically unbelievably intriguing, right? It's not about just overall less calories, it's just the sensation. So being able to tolerate that may lead to a longer life. That can potentially explain some of the data behind fasting, but much more research is going to be needed to better understand how to apply these contexts, or these concepts. For now, I'm going to try to put the Snickers bar down. I actually didn't buy it, so I don't even have any Snickers in my house at this time. And if you are, actually put the Snickers bar down. And actually had one person on the Vitality Explorer Substack site saying they were literally eating a Snickers bar while they were reading this, and they stopped in mid-bite. So hopefully they just decided to eat the rest of it later. But if you do that, if you stop eating a little bit and learn how to tolerate a little bit of feeling hungry, it may indeed lead to a longer life. So you can post your comments here. Again, this is not medical advice. And the other disclaimer is that I do really love Snicker bars and have consumed many of them over my lifetime and probably will in the future, but only once in a while. We're going to finish this week's Vitality Explorer Substack or Vitality Explorer podcast by talking about stretching and how it can help reduce inflammation and fight cancer, and why a flexibility program is crucial to your vitality. Again, you're listening to the Vitality Explorer podcast. My name is Alan Mishra, and all the details of this can be found at vitalityexplorers.substack.com online. All right, so stretching enhances your vitality, and I'm just going to put this on her. Period. Okay. Now, consistent stretching should be a part of our daily routine. We talked about that at the beginning in terms of like having it as a vitality action suggestion, because it can improve our flexibility, can reduce our risk of injury, and it can also relieve some of the pain associated with muscle tension. And I've seen this thousands of times as an orthopedic surgeon. If your tendons and your muscles are tight around a specific joint, whether that's your shoulder, your elbow, your knee, your hip, your ankle, that can lead to pain in that joint. So stretching has value from a musculoskeletal standpoint. I think what's fascinating is only recently stretching has also been found to have profound effects for inflammation and cancer. And this post reviews this important paper. And here's the title, Mechanisms Underlying Anti-Inflammatory and Anti-Cancer Properties of Stretching, a Review. Right? Just think about that. Just that statement of that title of that paper, that stretching may be anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer, is amazing. So according to the paper, stretching exercises such as yoga, tai chi can reduce our pro-inflammatory cytokines in our bodies. And those are sort of cytokines or proteins that can induce or perpetuate or fuel inflammation. And the stretching exercises were also associated with increased levels of a specific protein that can prevent hardening of the arteries. So a study conducted in a small group of men showed that short-term changes in lifestyle that included regular stretching can lower our blood pressure and our weight, as well as reduce inflammation and reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. So this could be things like tai chi or yoga, but the paper also reviewed how exercise and stretching can be helpful for cancer patients. And physical activity has been shown to help for almost all types of cancer, and has been reported to improve mobility and overall well-being in cancer patients. And specifically, stretching has been helpful for breast cancer patients who've had radiation, because of getting a frozen shoulder or a very stiff shoulder is an unfortunately common side effect of that type of treatment. So there's videos up on the Vitality Explorer Substack site that show stretching exercises. Don't start any of this unless you're getting cleared. But I think the idea that exercise helps cancer patients is known. And a specifically intense exercise has been shown to slow tumor growth and reduce inflammation, but not all cancer patients can do any sort of intense exercise. I think what's important and fascinating about this is that stretching may be a good alternative that may help reduce tumor growth in ways that are not fully understood. And here's some interesting extra data here. And this is data from a mouse model of breast cancer that found stretching reduced tumor volume and growth rates. And the research also identified a specific protein and a specific pathway that was associated with the expression of pro-inflammatory genes. So we don't know for sure in humans what's happening. We're starting to get more data in mouse models. But here's the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations about stretching. It's clear that it's of value. It may reduce inflammation and potentially attenuate the growth of some types of cancer. So engaging in a consistent stretching practice has clear value for our musculoskeletal system, but also may help reduce inflammation and may be valuable for cancer patients. Much more research needs to be done. But again, this is another non-pharmacologic way to enhance your vitality. I think we need specific protocols. And there's some stretching videos you can see on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But I do my best to stretch multiple times per day. You can just think of this as sort of a simple way to try to improve your overall sense of vitality. And one hack I've done is if anytime I heat something up in the microwave, you know, tea, coffee, oatmeal, that could be 2 minutes in there, and utilize that time. You know that the thing's going to go off in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So put your leg up and stretch your hamstring, stretch your shoulder, stretch your Achilles. Just do it for 2 minutes while your tea, coffee, oatmeal, or whatever's in the microwave is heating up. That's a simple way to do it. You can also do it just after you brush your teeth before you go to bed. Pay it forward to the next day, but try to get in 5 minutes of stretching per day. You can even do some stretching if you're on a phone call, if you're walking, just if you pause as you're going up and down stairs, you can do a little Achilles test or stretch. Just think of this as a way to put, again, some money in what we call your vitality bank account. Think of stretching as a vitality skill over the long term. Remember the quote from earlier in this podcast from Steve Prefontaine: to give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. So just think of your gift of life as important. And if you want to optimize how well you're living, even or especially in the context of having a terrible diagnosis like cancer, get on the bike for 10 minutes, stretch for 5 minutes, do whatever you can to combat whatever's going on or prevent it from happening later. And that, again, is the all-in strategy for combating cancer, combating obesity, and trying to understand, you know, what you can do to lead your most vital life. So put the Snicker bars down, get out, get moving, and until next time, dare to be vital. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Dr. Alan Mishra. Please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you to all the many and growing number of listeners to the Vitality Explorer podcast. Have a wonderful week, everybody.